Coming up on TMS, Blizzard gives good interviews.
The Power Rangers were really racist.
One-legged naked man makes his last stand.
NSA is really watching closely.
It sounds like you said an essay, like from school.
An essay.
Yeah.
An essay.
Essay. Dr. Phil under fire on Twitter, which is totally shocking because it's Twitter and stuff.
James Franco giving us a whole lot more James Franco.
Therapy Thursday tackles self-identity.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
General Foods introduces something you've never tasted before. 100% coffee, 50% reduced caffeine. It's called the perfect cup because extra care makes it extra rich. Reduced caffeine makes it smooth. The perfect cup has the perfect taste to get you going. Really rich and smooth. It's 100% coffee, 50% reduced caffeine. The perfect cup in fresh ground or instant coffee.
I thought we were cool.
The Morning Stream.
Ticking time bombs, bells treble for Scott and Brian. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. How are you? Good to see you, all your shiny morning faces. Making sounds I don't intend to make. It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2013. I'm Scott, that's Brian.
Hello.
Good morning. It's the end of the week. It's a morning stream ender. Big ender here. Did we have a full week this week? We did. No, you were sick one day.
No.
Was that,
no,
that last week or is this
that
week?
That was last week.
Yeah. Oh, so we've had a full week.
We've had a full week.
This is a weird week because it feels like everything got shortened for me, and I don't know why. Everything's so
really well,
busy.
It was just things got changed out on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that kind of weirded things out. Like,
you're right. I forgot.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm glad they were on, though. And by the way, shout out to both Justin, who got robbed, and now who has to use an Android phone until September.
Ugh.
He's sad about that, but then I also am worried that he might get pulled to the other side.
like he's going to stick with the...
he might go, I kind of like this Google Now business, or I like this whatever other thing. And then Veronica is currently having the same problem. I don't know what happened to her phone. I think it broke or something. So she's waiting, but she's also now using an Android phone.
Wow.
And she's diehard iPhone, Apple person in the wool. And she, on Twitter, goes, why didn't anyone tell me about this feature? Why didn't anyone tell me about this? So he's naming off these cool things that she found on this phone. I'm like, oh, we're losing her, you guys. We're losing her.
That's funny.
This is going to be it. Anyway, thinking about Justin. And then Nicole Spag, who has had the worst ear infection.
That should be Android's new slogan, right? Use us when your iPhone dies.
Yeah, when your iPhone dies, come on back over here for a minute. There's some weird statistic I saw yesterday where a bunch of new iPhone accounts this year, because they do in-store kind of ask you what were you using before, or what are you trading in, or whatever. A lot of Android people coming back to iPhone this year, which is a little bit weird. It's a little empirical, but so who knows if that stuff's...
Of course.
It's not. That's evidence you can't always count on. But here's the deal.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I say empirical. I meant empirical. Excuse me. Empirical. So what was my point? Oh, and then Nicole.
You're talking about Nicole, yeah.
Got an ear infection. Had it forever. It's killing her. Driving her nuts. But she's dealing with it. But then the baby's got to get tubes.
Right.
They changed the surgery because he's still sick. So now they got to do it again, which means she can't go to Dragon Con.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. So
So
you're gonna have to hold down the fart.
Yeah, me and Brian Dunaway. That probably isn't gonna happen.
Yeah, I saw that last night. Probably not. I saw it last night on Twitter, and I went, "Oh man!" But this, you know, you got to do the mother thing. You got to do it's the right thing.
Yeah,
for sure. But I know she worked really hard on a lot of stuff for that. And
she's co-chair of the podcasting section.
Yeah, the whole track over there.
Yeah.
Which will be full of people in hot, sweaty, hairy suits they made themselves.
How will NSFW happen? How will Night Attack happen?
Who
will keep me from drinking too much and missing my panels? If not Nicole.
If not her, then who? That's if what we want to know.
Exactly.
And if not then when? anyway, we're thinking about our our extended TMS crew and family here today, and hope everyone's doing all right. Justin's fine. That robbery was almost more like a weird, like I don't know if he's just part of that generation or what, but he just kind of saw it as like, meh, I'm getting robbed. This is happening.
I know. He's very nonchalant about it. And I think that that comes from probably some experience. We didn't ask him this, but I'm guessing he's been robbed before.
Yeah, we didn't ask. We should have. I mean, I hinted at the fact that he grew up in Florida and that he must have been robbed before. But
right.
Clearly it hadn't happened. But anyway, so there. Hopefully everyone's doing okay, and we're thinking about those guys. All right, so quick note here to fans of – I don't even think you have to be a fan of World of Warcraft to enjoy what I did yesterday. Sat down with Chris Metzen and his team that worked on the Burdens of Xiao Hao video series that they put out a little while ago.
Yeah.
All animated and stuff. And the artist Laurel, who did Laurel Austin is her name. She did the art for it, which is really neat and everything, but it looked really familiar when I first saw it. Didn't know it was her working on it, but I was familiar with her work outside of that. One of which, she's an illustrator for Blizzard generally, and that Hearthstone art, which is like all of those characters like gathered around the table while a little gnome there is playing. You know the one?
Right.
Big splash art?
Yep.
That's hers. She's really good. She was there as well, and the director was there, and we got to just talk about like film and animation and
that's so cool.
Extending the game worlds out to other storytelling mediums. And if you're just even remotely interested in the process of creating animated shorts, even that was a fascinating conversation.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to listen to that, because I'm in the process of doing that somewhat.
Yeah, sure. I've seen part of your thing there that you're working on. My favorite thing about this, because it's a work in progress, right?
Yes.
My favorite thing is you got all the narration done.
Yes.
And you sent me the early version of what you're doing.
Right.
And it's going along and I'm learning to like these characters and everything. And all of a sudden,
they just gone.
And then there's just the disembodied voice of Brian narrating everything. It's fantastic. Anyway, it was really good. And so if you're a fan of that at all, and certainly if you're a WoW fan, and Metzen has so much passion for this stuff, it's just so fun to talk to him.
Did he talk at all about Horde Side?
Nope, no Horde Side. He saves that for Greg. He lets Greg do that. But he did talk about, I asked him about BlizzCon. This may have been off the air, but I said, yeah, so you're looking forward to getting up on stage again and telling us about all this new stuff? And he goes, you know, it's kind of weird. For the first time in I don't know how long, they haven't asked me yet.
What?
And I'm like, what, dude?
But
really?
He's like, you know, Joe Charisma up there on stage.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he told me once he gets super nervous. No one ever notices how nervous he is, he says.
Wow.
But maybe they're holding out until they have even news he's not aware of or something. I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
But
all right.
Anyway, it's going to be fun to see them in November. I just wanted people to be aware of it. You can check it on the Instance feed. Theinstance.net is the website, or find it on iTunes or whatever. It's also on the Mega feed. And it's not there yet. It'll be part of tomorrow's show, so we'll tack it in there along with some Gamescom in Germany interviews that Terpster did. He's there right now, in fact. And he sat down and talked to a couple other guys as well. And then Dills and I are going to rattle on about Hearthstone for the rest of the time. So very exciting.
Great. I can't wait to listen to that.
Yeah, exciting instance tomorrow. I'm very excited.
I'm loving Hearthstone. It's just such a blast.
It's fan-freaking-tastic. We need to play it.
I've
played most of everyone I've either given keys to or whatever, except you.
Okay, good.
So I'm saving the best for last, is it?
No, you're saving an easy win for last.
Fantastic.
Is what you've done.
That's what I need. I did buy the $50 worth of cards and put it up on YouTube, so you can actually see that this morning as well.
Yeah, you talked about that. So I'm on the fence on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact that it's almost like getting to do it twice, you know?
Right.
Like,
No, you're absolutely right. That is exactly what it is. You
get the joy of doing it twice.
But there's a downside to that, Brian. I realized it yesterday. So let's say I get all that money back when the beta goes away and it goes to full release, and I unpack my 40 card or my 40 stacks again. That's 40 sets of 5 cards each. I got a legendary this time, one out of the entire, 40 packs of cards. There is a real likelihood that I won't get a legendary again. They're really hard to get.
Do you know what the rarity is on the legendaries? Is it one in?
50, I don't know. I don't know what the math is, but I assume it's something similar to the way the cards, magic cards work when you buy them at the store. So I'm sure they're working off a similar kind of algorithm or whatever. But I don't know what that is. I do know this: there were a lot of epics, so I did okay there. I mean, it felt right. Lots of normals, some rares. Actually, quite a few rares, and they're blues. And then some of those had gold foil, which does nothing except they're gold.
Right. Gold
and,
rare.
And kind of animated. They were more animated, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then there's the epics, which were purple. And I got probably five or six out of the whole deal.
Okay.
And then the orange / legendary, I got one. And it was a Karen Bloodhoof card that is awesome and I want to keep forever and ever. But
basically, I mean, there's really no, when you think about it, there's really no drawback, because if you were planning on doing this anyway, it's almost like you're just getting a free chance to experiment with that dynamic. You know, there's certainly nothing that says that if you would have waited and opened your 40 packs later on, you would have gotten legendary after the game is officially released.
Correct.
You know?
That's absolutely correct. So I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to be okay with it. But it was hitting pay and just going for it was a little...
I'm sure it was.
Frightening.
Yeah.
It's like, man, $50. I'm just about.
I'm going to do it. I'm totally going to do it.
I'm part of the free to play problem. You know,
right?
Like I'm doing that thing that you're not. No one thinks anyone ever does, but I felt like I had to take one for the team. So.
Well, but it's again, you know, a lot of people dog on that free to play model. I know you don't, but there's the, you know, that feeling like, oh, well, it should be free. You know, I shouldn't have to pay for extra plants and zombies. Bah.
Yeah. Bah.
you know, how else are these guys going to get paid? There's no advertising in Plants vs. Zombies.
Nope.
And they've come out with a very solid, great game.
Yeah. I've heard great things. I still haven't played it, but I've heard really good things about it. I feel like I got so Plants v Zombies out last time that I don't know if I'm ready to get it.
Oh, it's so good. There's so much different stuff in there. You will be sucked right back into it. And basically you'll have that up while your little dial is spinning in Hearthstone waiting to pick your worthy opponent. You know, past things like old roommate and worst player ever.
Right.
You'll like do a round of Plants vs. Zombies, and then you'll be like, oh, how do I pause this to do that? Oh.
Yeah. It is nice to see Blizzard have a nice sense of humor on that game. I like
that.
Yes,
totally.
It makes me laugh. All right. So, a couple of quick bits of advice. Number one, don't. You got your juicer yet? Is that today?
It's coming today.
Okay.
Via Amazon Prime.
Here's a small recommendation. I emailed you about it, or I texted you last night about it. I'm going to reinforce it this morning.
Oh, did you really?
I did. I'm going to reinforce it this morning in which case you didn't get it, so this will be even better for you. All right?
Yeah,
I'm not repeating it.
Okay.
So don't juice my – look, there's probably some moderate amount that you could do. Don't juice beets. don't – I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to go against the beets as a choice.
I see your message now about that, yes.
Yeah, don't do beets. And here's why. I didn't know this, but beets are – they retain their massive laxative quality.
Olestra?
Style. Yeah. In their juice form, they are no less, you know, potent in that regard. And I didn't know this. So yesterday afternoon, I was thinking, what's wrong with me? Am I getting something? Am I coming down with some terrible thing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, no. But I don't feel any other weird symptoms. This is just it. This is all. And it was fierce gastrointestinal disturbances.
Oh,
fierce is the word I'll use. And I traced it back to the beets because it's the only thing that could explain it and the only weird thing that was in that juice. And I just overdid it. So don't juice the beets.
Oh, that's a bummer because I like beets.
Well, I think it's a moderate thing. I think if I had gone with like a quarter of a beet, I'd have been fine. And perhaps I'm more sensitive than others to it. I don't know.
Don't they say you've got to cook them a little bit so that they're softer? Or does the juicer that...
It doesn't even say. The ones we got were these like Walmart pre. I think they were cooked even. I think they're pre.
Are they canned? You're not using.
They're sealed in bags. So it looks like four big horse testicles in a bag.
Wrapped in plastic,
exactly. And I pop one of those out, stick it in the, and I put. I think we did the whole beet, maybe two beets in that in that batch, and it was just too much. So. Beets and carrots, you gotta be careful with too. So I'm learning. I'm navigating this fantastic new space, and I'll figure out what's best. But
yeah.
So I took one again for the team.
Very good. Thank you for doing that.
You bet. Just be moderate with your beets. You'll be fine.
Yes, it arrives today. We're also gonna hit Costco at some point today just to get a few things for the next couple days, and then farmer's market on Saturday morning to get some good organic stuff to
throw
in.
Great idea. So this morning when I'm done, I'm gonna have. I'm going to go get two apples, one pear, and one orange.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
And that's going to be my morning thing.
No kale? I thought you're supposed to always have kale.
Not this morning.
Isn't kale a requirement in every single recipe?
Only, well, it's the one. It's like the filler. What's it like? It's like flour or rice, you know, to the juicers world. It's like the thing you always throw in there, and it's really healthy, and it's the superfood and all that. I'm just gonna this morning. I'm gonna go straight on juice. I'm just gonna go look. I'm having fruit this morning. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, very good.
Screw the kale till later. All right. Actually, we may be out because we went through a ton of it. Let's one last thing. So
yes,
yesterday it hit me. Not that the other thing hit me too. But this
the
hit
beats.
Me.
Yes, I heard about the beats.
You heard about the beats. So it hit me while in the middle of the day while I'm just thinking. Sometimes I think, and sometimes my brain goes, "Hey, guess what?"
I'm just visualizing you sitting there staring off into space. You know, like disconnected from the world for a little while.
Pretty much true. So I'm sitting there, and it occurred to me in my head, and I'm picturing it in my head, that the Power Rangers were kind of racist.
Okay.
And it never, ever even made any, I never once saw this before, but the Black Ranger is black.
Right.
The black character, the only one. The Yellow Ranger is an Asian character.
Okay.
And the Pink Ranger is a girl. No, well, that's not racist so much, but
not so much racist.
But it's a little sexist, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, was that intentional? Like, I tried to find some history that said, "Hey, Power Rangers are racist." Because check it out, they've got the stereotype colors for the stereotype people in the suits, except the Red Ranger, who was wasn't the Red Ranger kind of a Hispanic dude? Or something. I don't remember who he was.
I'm looking at a picture of them right now. He looks awfully tan.
Yeah, maybe I don't know if that was supposed to be some kind of. I'm reading into it, right? So I'm starting to look at all the. Oh, geez, what else was there? Was there some giant monster they'd fight that was, you know, supposed to be Al Sharpton in a dress?
Okay. All right. Well, let me just throw kind of the counterbalance to this.
Okay, go.
So you're the Black Power Ranger,
sure.
Or you're the black guy who's been invited to join the Power Rangers.
Right.
They give you your choice of colors. Are you going to say, "I'll take the pink suit. I'll take the yellow suit"?
Well, no. But
it is the best looking of all the Power Rangers.
It is.
Outfits.
But you're assuming there was like a meeting where they all got to pick. Like they went in a room and said, "All right,
Lawrence Tierney going. All right, you're Mr. Black Power Ranger. You're Mr. Pink Power Ranger."
Sitting
there's
around the
no
table.
Choosing colors.
Yeah, yeah. In a weird way, in a funny way, it's funny you bring that up because I thought of Reservoir Dogs while I was thinking about this because you start thinking about colors and why you would assign them to people,
right?
And to this minute, I don't understand why the Power Rangers went ahead and decided to do that. Why couldn't it have been a white dude in the black suit and the black dude in the red one or something or something like that? Suit.
I can't believe it was a teal. Or I guess that's green. It's just a very bad photo.
Okay, there's a couple of things going on here. I like to get philosophical about this. Maybe we make too much of these sorts of things, and it isn't that big a deal. And in fact, so what if the color of the suit also represents the color of his skin? So what?
Right.
Like, is it really a big deal? Like, I'm asking myself this yesterday. Like, is that a big deal? Has society and its sensitivities of late, and I mean the last 20 years, let's say, has it made me constantly think of these things as they show up, and then automatically you're supposed to be offended by such things? So I was running the gamut, dude, just back and forth, back and forth, and then the beats went, and then I gave up. That was it.
Now I found a photo or a kind of a montage of the what looks like about 50. Different Power Rangers, like over the years,
right.
You know, you've got the first five, yeah, but then you look at, you know, as they went through this, there were a lot of Black Power Rangers in the yellow costume.
Oh,
like I'd say more so than Black Power Rangers in the black costume. You know what I'm saying?
Right, I totally know what you're saying. So
let me
is that
this.
So then the conspiracy guy in me, this little guy in the back of my head who does conspiracies. He goes, well, yeah, of course, because after the first set, they realized, oh, whoops, we can't do that here. We got to, you know, we gotta shake things up. We gotta mix it up, right. Make it. We gotta confuse people.
So you think that they're like, oh, we gotta fix this.
Well, and when I was younger, the only thing I cared about Power Rangers was the pink one was cute. That's all I cared about.
Sure.
I thought
sure.
She was the total hottie. Like she was the cutest thing on TV.
Right.
And still kind of cute. She holds up. Now, today, even today, she was in a couple of. She shows up in like you know CSI shows and things like that.
Right. She still has her longevity, the career longevity.
Yeah. But here's some throwback for you guys. This is a little bit of.
All right, we did it.
Yeah. Congratulations, Power Rangers.
It's the original crew.
Victory is yours. You have gone far beyond the call of duty and saved your world from a terrible fate. The world is very lucky to have you, and so am I.
Okay. That guy is the worst.
Power Rangers.
All right, here we go. Theme song, the way you remember it. This is a 90s, early 90s, like...
That's awesome.
...video game, side-scrolling, beat-em-up music. Yeah, come on.
Heroes on the half shell. Oh, wait.
May as well have been. Power Rangers. Anyway, good stuff.
Wow.
Good stuff. All right.
Can't say I've ever watched an entire episode of Power Rangers, even as a kid.
I feel like I did. Well, how old would we have been? Power Rangers started when? I feel like I was older.
Yeah.
It feels like I should have been a kid, but I wasn't. I think I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Power Rangers. Just a quick,
Started, yeah.
Quick look. Long-running American entertainment franchises. Franchise built live-action television series, features of heroes, something, Saban Entertainment, blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow. Three people have run this thing. Produced first by Saban Entertainment, later by BVS Entertainment, and currently by SCG Entertainment. Or, sorry, SCG Power Rangers LLC. They moved to an LLC to limit their liability.
Right.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers debuted on August 28th, 93. So, yeah, I'd have been just married.
Yeah.
I was 23.
Wow. Yeah no.
Weird, right? It feels like I should have been a kid. Then, but
totally
because I watched a bunch of this.
It's funny. Never saw a single episode. Well, Tristan kind of missed that boat. It was, you know, there's that time period when you watch the stuff and then you go off to college and then you get married and then you have kids of your own. Mm-hmm. It's that little gap between you being a kid and having kids of your own that stuff that appears in that little that little section you miss out.
Yeah. Except there's a few in there that I somehow still absorbed, but you're right.
Sure.
There's a period there where you don't get it. And it's funny because my daughter, my oldest, was she was the Barney generation.
Oh,
and then Carter was, and Tristan by association, I suppose.
Probably Teletubbies,
and I want to say
Blue's Clues.
That's it. It was Blue's Clues.
Yeah,
and Blue's they were Clues. So tail end of Blue's Clues, early Dora the Explorer was her and Tristan's age, and then for Nick. I want to say we raised Nick on just raw ass Cartoon Network. Like just no messing around with no kid business.
Nice,
it was like straight into like, you know,
Looney Tunes. Let's, you know, we'll
whatever they had then.
Jump into the archives of that stuff.
This would have been 2000 to 2000. Let's say 2005 would have been. I mean, that's when Nick was five. So there was none of these things like that. It wasn't. We weren't watching Sesame Street. We were forcing him straight up into like, I don't know what would have been on. I don't know, old Ren and Stimpy reruns. And
oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah. We were, cool. I don't know if we've done we may have committed a horrible error there. I don't know. Seems like it was okay. Turned out all right, that kid. All right. Except he doesn't like getting up in the morning. So I don't know
who does.
I don't know what he learned and how he learned it, but he's terrible compared to the girls. Yeah. All right. Let's do a little Stump a Trek Nerd time. This is your chance at home to win because Daryl's not here today. So if you want to call in at My Extra Life on Skype, you don't have to add it. You don't have to try to request a friend. You just call it My Extra Life. We'll bring you in, and you'll have a chance to win a mystery Frog Pants gift pack if you get today's question, if you get it correct, if you correctly answer the question is what I'm trying to say. So let's launch in. Let's get it going. Here's your theme. Stuck there for a minute. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Looking for another podcast to listen to? Another Way Around Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe. Go to awaycast.com to listen in as the guys talk life, games, and everything in between. Right now, until the end of August, the Awaycast is giving away free Microsoft points and subscriptions to Xbox Live as part of their Summer of Arcade giveaway. Just follow, subscribe, and like to enter. That's awaycast.com.
Sounds good. We got a first caller pulled right out of the ether here. Taylor, hello, good morning. Hello, Taylor. Earth calling Taylor. Is your microphone working, sir? Or lady. You could be a lady. I have a Taylor, so it's possible that this is a female Taylor.
Well, it's nothing until she answers.
Or he, yeah.
Or he.
Taylor Thomas. That's Taylor Thomas. Hello, Taylor. Earth calling Taylor. Okay, not there. So, no, that maybe not going to happen. Sorry, man. Let's try our next one. Isaac Garza. Hello, Isaac.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Fantastic. Congratulations. You are our second random caller today.
Awesome.
Nice job. I'm glad you tried back because I saw you tried right after Taylor, and then you were like, well, I guess he's going to be the guy because Taylor's microphone. No worky. So where are you from? What's going on?
Lubbock, Texas.
Oh, Lord. I mean, that's great. That's a beautiful place to be. Actually, what is Lubbock like? You always have stereotypes of places and things, but is Lubbock a nice place, a dumpy place? What's it like?
It's nice. It's full of dust.
Yeah, very dusty, old school Western kind of joint.
Yeah, kind of. We got a haboob last year, which are usually native to the Middle East.
Yeah. A haboob? What's a haboob?
What?
it's like a giant wall of dirt coming at you.
Wow. Oh, like a storm thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's kind of terrifying.
It's the return of the Dust Bowl, man. That's what that is right there.
Bugaboo is what that is.
A bugaboo. It's a real bugaboo. I don't have that file, Andy. All right, play it. Well, it's good to have you on here. Oh, yeah, I do. Here it is.
Menstruation.
Nope, that's not it. Why is it? It's mislabeled. Here you go.
They've been reared in such a way that it's a bugaboo.
There you go. So it's time to stump you with a hard trivia question about Star Trek. And if you win, you get a free Frog Pants gift pack shipped to beautiful downtown Lubbock, Texas.
Ooh.
I know, very exciting, right?
Yeah.
So let's do it.
I think it's great.
Okay, great. Shut up over there. So here we go. We're going to give you a hard question, and you answer it as fast as you can. No multiple choice on this one. This one's just... Oh, go ahead.
I added some multiple choice in case you wanted to do multiple choice.
Oh, we could do that, yeah, because this was originally for Daryl. So, yeah, we'll do multiple choice. It's easier that way. All right. In the original series episode, The Man Trap, we meet Dr. McCoy's old girlfriend, Nancy Crater. It has been over 10 years since they had seen each other. She calls McCoy by his old nickname. What nickname does she call him? The options are A, Plum, B, Pumpkin, C, Peach, or D, Kumquat. Again, that's A, Plum, B, Peach, or sorry, B, Pumpkin, C, Peach, or D, Kumquat. What say you?
I'm going to go with Pumpkin.
Pumpkin? Sure, let's find out. Pumpkin? Pumpkin is his answer, everyone. Judges, is it Pumpkin? Incorrect. The answer correctly would have been Plum. It says here Plum. Her nickname for him was Plum. In this episode, it turns out she is the salt monster / salt vampire and takes on various forms depending on who is around her. I saw this recently. Here's a clip of McCoy and Kirk discussing how to get women. Some important business.
Pick some flowers, Doctor. When a man visits an old girlfriend, she usually expects something like that. Is that how you get girls to like you? By bribing them.
Oh, geez.
Yes.
Thanks, fellas.
So what? Yes.
So, anyway. So, anyway, dude, congratulations or not.
Yes.
Congratulations for getting on the show. So sad you didn't win, but there's always a chance in the future to try again. Isaac, everybody, from Lubbock, Texas. Enjoy your the next sandstorm, and hopefully everything goes okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Isaac.
Sweet sideburns, by the way. My gosh. You see his image there?
It's
gone
did
now,
not.
But woo. Got some lamb chops. Yeah. Things went way down.
Were they big enough that he could have shaved them into stars like Starburns on Community?
Totally could have. Wow. Oh, did you hear Mike's going to be on Community?
Yes!
That's great. That's great.
From Breaking Bad, yes. Yeah. So we'll get some half measures on Community.
Well, or none of them.
No half measures.
Okay, let's eat this thing. that sure. we got. We do have something to test today.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
Got right here. Ginger. Chews. Sorry, look at Jesus there.
Ginger cheeses.
Ginger cheeses. Ginger chews. The original. Let's see. This is from the Ginger People. Yes. That's
you can see one of them right there on the box.
Bunch of redheaded people with freckles.
This is America's number one best-selling ginger candy, according to the label.
Yeah. Sweet and soft, or sweet, hot, soft ginger candy, natural, stimulating, and delicious. I'll be the judge of that.
So it's got the SCOVY Award winner for best candy.
SCOVY?
The SCOVY.
What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. It sounds like a spicy, you know, like Scoville units. Like
oh, right. Scovilles. Yeah, Scoville units.
Oh, my God. This is so wrapped. It's like wrapped and then wrapped again.
Robert Scoville units.
The bag box is wrapped in plastic. Then inside the box, there are these individually wrapped. And then you unwrap the wrapper, and there's another wrapper inside.
Weird.
Wrapped in plastic.
Right, exactly what it is.
Let's see if we can get in here.
All right. Here goes.
Okay. So, oh, wow. You're right. It's Inception candy. All right. Here we go. Pulling that off. I'm still trying to get into the... Okay, I can see DiCaprio now. I'm in the third level.
Bong.
Okay, here we go. Is this chewy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous about this.
It's good.
I'm not really a ginger fan.
When you get sushi, do you get ginger?
No.
Like, do you
ginger? They bring it, but I don't eat it. I never do. Kim does.
Mm-hmm.
And I like ginger pills for if you get motion sick in a car or something.
Mm-hmm.
Take ginger pills, ginger supplements. Totally kills it.
I say this is going to last another 10 seconds inside you.
Ugh. Yeah, I think I might be done with it. Yeah, I don't like this. This stuff's supposed to... Let's see. Yeah, yeah.
Wait till it gets really hot.
You hear that sound?
Was that you throwing it away?
That was me spitting it into a can.
Oh,
can't do it. Kim will love these.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. She loves ginger.
They're getting spicy as heck.
Is it? The more you go?
Mm-hmm.
They have other delicious flavors. Peanut, spicy apple, and hot coffee. I could do the spicy apple.
Now I'm tasting prime rib and potatoes. Mmm.
Now
pass
I'm tasting,
the gravy.
Now I'm turning purple and getting sucked
for
into
for dessert, food. Blueberry pie.
I don't like that scene. She's too into it.
She really is, right?
She's way too into it. I like how into it she is. What's her name? Is that Veruca Salt? No,
that's Violet Beauregard.
Violet Beauregard, that's right. And what was the boy? Augustus Gloop.
Augustus Gloop.
And he's the one that ended up in the tube.
Right.
In the chocolate lake, right? Which is a kid kind of traumatic to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about your claustrophobia.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You know?
Ooh. I can blame everything. Anything that's wrong with me, I can blame on the original Willy Wonka movie.
Totally, totally.
It explains my fear of of Blazing Saddles.
What if Augustus Gloop got sucked into the tube backwards?
Oh,
right?
Dude, what?
He'd be hung upside down in the chocolate milk, unable to like swim above it.
Ugh, just horking it
he
down. Could
have
got
horribly wrong.
Oh, I know. You don't walk. Listen, too. If you walk away from lungs saturated in chocolate milk, you do not walk away from that unscathed.
Right.
That has long term health effects.
Right. Exactly. Milk lung is what you spend your
call
whole
it
life
milk
with milk
lung. Ah, you don't want the old Gloop syndrome, do you? Or Gloop. All right.
Maybe that's an alternative cartoon. Is you see the back of Willy Wonka and all the other kids, and they're looking at the tube with Augustus Gloop's legs sticking out above.
That's great.
And you just see a little word balloon coming out of Willy Wonka's mouth, going, "Oh shit!"
Oh yeah, he swore in that, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
Did he? No,
I think he did. Now that I have a memory of him doing that.
He did not.
Did you
swear.
Just plant it in my head? You did.
Yeah, I did. I just inceptioned it's... Willy Wonka swearing in your head.
It feels right, though. That's really weird. I've never quite experienced that before.
Ryan Dunaway says he did. No, he did not.
I think he did. Dunaway, I think he did, didn't he? Back me up
here,
man.
Oh, he says hell, right?
Did he say, oh, hell? We're talking about the original Willy Wonka, not the new one, not that weird one. Well, I actually kind of like the new one, so I'm not going to talk smack on it. But yeah, somebody somewhere, he said that. He went, ah, shit. Or, ah, really? Yeah, or something. When he's reciting.
Does he say it when he's doing that weird poem in the tunnel? Like,
maybe.
I hear the fires of hell growing, but the rowers keep on rowing. And they're certainly not showing any signs.
Yeah. Kids are like, you're so much nicer on Blazing Saddles. I don't like you in here.
I'm going to go watch Stir Crazy.
Yeah.
Or that one with that hot lady from Weird Science.
What was that one? That was, what was the Weird Science lady one?
The woman in red.
Yeah. That was it. There was full frontal nudity in that movie.
Okay. So somebody linked to the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory Parents Guide on IMDb.
Okay. And the video. Check this. Here you go. All right. They're going into the tube. I'm going to skip ahead to the gnarly part. It sounds like it's way overmodulated, but. Okay. Okay, great.
Hey, this isn't funny, Wonka. You can't possibly see where you're going, Wonka.
You're right. I can't.
Give us the thing.
There's no knowing where we're rowing.
I forgot he's saying it.
Which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing?
Ugh, gosh.
And they're certainly not showing.
There you go.
Any signs that they are slowing.
You know what I love about Gene Wilder? Nobody can yell like him.
Especially right after that, too.
It's special. It's really kind of a special yell. You don't get that out of everybody.
Here's something that I didn't know. So according to the IMDb guide, there's no profanity in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
All right.
And the only violence and gore they talk about is the chicken getting its head cut off in the very scene that you were just showing. However, under sex and nudity, somewhere about 5 minutes or so into the movie, Charlie goes by a magazine vendor, and one of the magazines features a fully nude woman.
What?
Yes.
Oh, what? Hold on.
I know.
Willy Wonka. This is like those weird Easter eggs you find on Snopes to try to find out if they're real or not. So Willy Wonka nude magazine. Okay. So here we go. I'm trying to see if they show this.
It's got
to
be like under images or something.
Yeah, somewhere. Oh, man. Careful on.
On Google Images? Yeah.
Yeah, there's. Some...
What's that guy doing with that tricycle? Holy crap.
What's that guy doing with that car? You see the guy with the car? I hope you don't.
I can't.
There's nothing. That's not obvious, and these images are getting worse as you go.
Yeah, they are.
We're getting further away from Willy Wonka and much deeper into other stuff, but I can't find it.
There really is a focus on the other words in our search.
Really, thanks, Google. Algorithmically chosen to be dirty. All right,
we'll have to find that.
We'll dig a little deeper, folks. A little deeper. Yeah, exactly. A little later. A little deeper. It's the news.
And it's finally brought to you by the Fear Steve plushie Kickstarter project by Fantasy Coin. Another awesome Frog Pants plush to complete your set. Stop by and get yours today. Fear Steve will only be available as a Kickstarter reward and at Nerdtacular. FearSteve.com.
Norbert Chabanes or Chabanes.
Chaban. I don't know.
I don't know what he's got. It's hard to tell even on the picture if there's any kind of ethnic reason I should do something. Norbert Chabanes, let's say, one-legged naked man. What is one-legged naked man's powers? What does he do? We've given pause to your Stanley impression.
I can't use any kickstand jokes.
No.
Nope.
Well, you could, but.
Only has the ability to crawl around on the floor and make googly noises. I don't know. Excelsior.
Wow. He is an inefficient hero, for sure.
He is, yes.
He died after throwing bricks into a neighbor's window.
Oh, what's that?
This Norbert guy, 55, aren't they always, who has a history of cocaine-related arrests, was seen in his neighborhood of Perdido Key, Florida. Oh, Florida.
Perdido. Yeah, of course. He's a Florida man.
Oh, great. This is at 5 p.m., crawling across the yard, according to the Pensacola News Journal. When I was a kid, I thought Pensacola was just people saying Pepsi Cola wrong. That's the truth. I really, yeah, I was like 10, and I hear somebody say, oh, yeah, we're going to Pensacola. I'm like, that's Pepsi Cola. Duh. Anyway, Pensacola News Journal. He reported, let's see, he reportedly cut the arm while, or his arm while attempting to break into his next door neighbor's home when he was unsuccessfully crawled across the street to another woman's house and tried to throw a brick through the window. That's when a sheriff's deputy arrived. When the officer tried to calm Chabanes down, he collapsed. He was pronounced dead at the scene after resuscitation attempts were unsuccessful. Cause of death has not been released, but authorities are investigating because Chabanes died while involved in a confrontation with the deputy, so they have to dig into it deeper. Wow. Here's what I think he died of. Hard life, man.
Yeah.
That's what I think he died of. He died of not having a leg, being naked on the street, and having cocaine in his system. That's what I think he died of.
And a scraped arm.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, you can't live like that for very long and then expect things to go well.
He does have the supervillain face, though, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Scary as hell, that guy.
Yeah.
Ain't messing with Norbert Chabanes, age 55. All right. NASA. And the NSA.
NSA.
The NSA has been collecting thousands of online communications by Americans. Now, if you've only been paying attention to the news in a cursory way, you have already probably heard this in some general way. But this is new information. The nation's top intelligence official on Wednesday declassified three secret U.S. court documents. This is yesterday. And opinions on other classified documents that reveal how the National Security Agency, or NSA, intercepted thousands of emails from Americans with no connection to terrorism. Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, heir to the Clapper fortune.
Sure.
Clap on, clap off the Clapper.
Yes, right.
Authorized the release.
Quite a legacy that guy has.
I know, right? Old people in bed clapping on the light. I used to love that commercial where the old lady would be like, she looked
so angry.
She's so pissed. Yeah. She's roll over and went, meh, and then roll back over. It's like, stupid light. This isn't even this isn't even that convenient to clap at it. This Clapper dude authorized the release of the agency published documents on the newly created Tumblr page dubbed IC on the record. It's a Tumblr page? Who am I? What are we doing here?
Tumblr.
That seems odd. Does it not?
It does, yes.
Why Tumblr? Did they talk to what's-her-name and make a deal? Yahoo lady? Because they own it now?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So they published the documents, the classified documents that talked about how they got the emails, not the emails themselves. Right. So,
but the revelation was that there were so many, this huge amount of traffic from people like you and I, was intercepted. They don't do anything with it. It's too much. No, what do you care? Exactly. Like me saying to you, hey, dude, see you in the morning. Make sure that cover song we're doing tomorrow is the. You know, they don't care.
Right. Exactly.
They don't care. Nobody cares.
Who cares? I don't care.
That's what Melissa Meyer said when she heard about them. Even she thought using Tumblr was weird.
She's hiding something. I can tell in that laugh.
The recent revelations come amid growing criticism from members of Congress and privacy groups around the NSA surveillance programs that charge the agency has far overstepped its bounds in collecting information on U.S. citizens. There are already bipartisan efforts in Congress to rein in the programs and increase oversight on the intelligence agencies. Which, by the way, I want to just say something for the record here, and there will be people who disagree with me or think I'm taking a glass half full approach to this.
Sure.
I'm curious to see what you think about this. I believe that, like a lot of things, we get a little irrational and a little bit crazy and a little bit loud about things that are happening right now. But this isn't any much different than many other things that have happened in our history or anyone's history. So when Nixon was lying and doing secret tapes and being a butthole, that was huge, and we had to create new kinds of oversight, new kinds of accountability, new kinds of whatever, and everybody was thinking it was the end of the world, and everyone's freaking out. This ship we call the United States of America and its Constitution has a tendency to right itself historically. And it's easy to, as a generation who didn't have to deal with any of the other weird stuff in our past, this is maybe the first weird thing they've had to deal with, let's say, and they just assume that this is the end of everything. We're going to be moving. We're going to be burning books next, and a big giant fascist nation. And I just would like to call for people to just chill out and not be so extreme. That being said, I don't think all of the. I think this is way. The NSA and other agencies have way overextended their ability to spy on Americans. I do think it's way, way over the limit. But that's the point. You have this fight. You figure it out. Stuff gets leaked. You scale it back. It takes time. It takes pain. It takes argument. It takes all kinds of assessment. It takes all the things that it always takes. But that's the point. There is no end game where it's all done. We're never going to get to a point where we're like, got it. Everything's set.
Right.
Government's the exact right amount of government now. It's the exact right amount of voter rights. It's the exact right amount of whatever A, B, and C all the way through Z. We never reach that. No one ever will reach that. No government, mm-hmm. no organization, no individual will ever reach that kind of utopia. So what is it then that we're doing? It's the constant. It's this journey. It's the battle. It's the fight. And that's what you just have to keep pushing. That's all. So to me, I just feel like it's a perspective thing. It's not, you know, we are not, there's not some crazy new tyrannical thing happening. What we're dealing with is we live in a time where this is a new bit of business for everybody. How connected everyone is, how much information you can share, how you get that information to each other, and therefore how nefarious people can use that information and how innocent people can use that information. All this stuff is new and different and fresh in the larger scheme of things. So we're going to stumble all over it. We're going to make huge mistakes. People are going to make illegal mistakes. Some people are going to make terrible, awful mistakes. People are going to maybe even die as a result of things like this. But that's the thing. That's the constant fight. Like, that's what you do. And then you right the ship the best you can. And is it perfect? No. There'll always be somebody in opposition to wherever we end up. It's just the way it works. So
it's never going to be a ready, aim, fire kind of approach. It's always going to be ready, aim, fire, aim, fire again, aim, fire again.
Oh, shoot. We missed. Okay. Aim. Oh, we aimed for 10 years and didn't fire. Well, shoot. We better fix that. Like, it's this long haul thing. It's not a short-term thing.
I'm trying to remember, and I want to say it was This American Life, but something that I was listening to was talking about that what we don't hear about and what the NSA and Homeland Security don't talk about and what they should be friggin' getting on bullhorns and talking about this on rooftops is how many attempted attacks and things like that they've stopped by doing these kind of monitoring situations.
Sure. They're real quiet about it.
They are. And it seems like this would be the complete and total ammunition that they would need to be able to say, well, this is why we do it.
Yeah, I agree. But this is why I'm all for. And again, you have to fight for it and it takes a long time and you don't always get all you want to get. But I always fight for full transparency as best you can. Now, there's certain ways you can't. There are certain security situations that if you had full transparency, you'd just be opening it up to the people you're trying to protect, you know, people from. I understand that. But as much transparency as possible. And right now, there's not enough. So let's get a little more. Let's push that other way until we get enough that it makes the most sense for the most people and then chip away at it again and again. And then when we start to be able to teleport everywhere or we got mind-reading devices or whatever the hell technology freaks everybody out in 20 years, that's just freaking adjust again. Mm-hmm. It's what it is.
I mean, the transparency is a huge issue in here. It is that they need to be clear about what it is they're doing and why they're doing it.
Yeah, and up front, in the first place, say, by the way, quick note, everybody, we're working with Google. Or whoever, you know, I'm not trying to single out Google. I think Google claims they've not done anything, but whatever. Let's say they just get up right up front and say, we've made a deal with Yahoo. They're going to give us access to this kind of information, and that's what we're going to do. And then what people can do then is say, no, that's too much. We will now fight that all the way to the Supreme Court. Or they'll say, well, that seems reasonable. Or whatever we say, whatever we do, just be freaking up front about it. I think that's something that has to change and get better. But it's not going to happen overnight. And then we're not going to settle on the perfect solution. It's going to keep getting tweaked. Right. There are people who are going to fight to the death to have this lack of transparency. And there are going to be other people who fight to the death for more transparency. It's just the way the fight goes. And it's always gone this way. And it will always go this way. Thinking of it as personal. It's like if you'd asked me when I was 13, hey, Scott, 13-year-old Scott, I'd say, yes, what can I do for you? And I would have said, what do you think? You think in some point in your life, you're going to be just exactly who you want to be one day? Like you're going to just, you're going to hit a point, you're going to be going, ah, that's me. That was the thing I was going to be. I was always planning on being that guy. I would have said yes. But what I've learned is not the case. There is no, it's a constant, not battle, but it's a constant adjustment, readjustment, change the way you behave, try to do something new, lose old habits, fix something about your personality. That's what life is.
Yeah.
So get on the train, baby. Toot, toot. All right, moving on. TweakedAudio.com sponsoring the program today. Five great styles, seven great colors, all designed to sound designed to sound great with your music and talk. Noise reduction is key. Don't forget, you get a free warranty, and that's lifetime for everything you buy at Tweaked Audio, and you get a cheap deal. Check this out. Stream at checkout, 33% off. That's TweakedAudio.com. Go there today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
No Strings USA. It's a not-for-profit producer of educational informational puppet films for children in the developing world. We're now preparing to produce two puppet films for the refugee children of Syria, one to directly address their current trauma and the other to help begin the peace-building process for their future. Help us raise the money we need to make this continue happening. Please check out the campaign video at indiegogo.com/projects/No Strings Films for Syria with hyphens between each of those words, or like them on Facebook at facebook.com/NoStringsUSA, no spaces or hyphens, or follow on Twitter at twitter.com/NoStringsUSA with no hyphens or spaces.
Very nice.
I'm looking forward to emails. I really am actually looking forward to emails that to talk about what we're just talking about. I like hearing the other side of things. I mean, I agree in personal privacy. I'm all for that. And I think that there is a middle ground. There's some way to do both what they're trying to do and be transparent about it and still maintain the safety of our country.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I'm at with it.
And in other news, ironic name, got his Willy Wonka DVD out and captured the nude magazine on the rack that Charlie walks by.
Wait, did he already post this?
He's already posted this.
Oh my gosh, you are a freak. Hold on.
Let me put this in. I'll put it in the sky because it's pretty cool.
I just found it. I just found it.
Okay, cool.
So hold on. Where is it? Is it video?
No, it's just a screen grab.
I see what he did. So where's the photo? Is it the one on top?
I think it's the one on the top and the back. It's not terribly clear, but maybe when you're watching the video.
Yeah, I can't tell exactly, but that's pretty right. Funny. Boy, where'd you get this standard def, low resolution garbage version of this movie, dude?
Right. Do I have this on? I wonder if I've got this on Blu-ray. I might have to dig
a little deeper.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil, sexual assault tweet sparks outrage. Good. Yeah. Prompts a petition. His tweet was thusly. It says, if a girl is drunk, is it okay to have sex with her? This is the 62-year-old talk show psychologist, whose full name is Dr. Phil McGraw, by the way. Offered the themes and topics for his upcoming shows, tweeted out to fans for input. They do this all the time. So they'll say, hey, do you think it's okay if, to kiss on the first date? Or they'll, just stupid stuff usually. But this one sparked all kinds of problems because people thought it was him being snarky. When really it's just a topic. I feel like this is a much ado about nothing kind of thing.
Right.
Because if you think that's what his meaning was, well then you're jumping to conclusions.
He's currently in this situation.
Yeah, it's a hypothetical.
Hey guys, I need some quick advice really quick.
Real quick. Now, how drunk does a girl have to be before I can have sex with her? It's not what he did. And it's not even him doing it, by the way. Someone else posted it, one of his assistants or somebody posted it there. But
sure.
If they're asking literally for a show, upcoming show, if a girl is drunk, does that make things okay? And man, he took some heat on Twitter. Shocking. Twitter can cause some heat. Dr. Wow. Oz was saving lives today, and Dr. Phil is trying to hook up with drunk girls, says Samir Mazari of BuzzFeed. if a person is misogynist, it's okay to just refer him to Dr. Phil from now on, another upset tweeter wrote. So everyone's asking for apologies and demanding all this stuff. And I'm like, you guys, really? Really? I'm not even a Dr. Hip Phil fan. I don't even care. But this is over. Come on.
Right.
For 2 seconds, you can't go, maybe he meant this other thing.
Right, exactly. Let's take this as what the worst possible connotation that we can with this statement.
I feel like, you know, on the internet, we all want this. We all want anonymity. We all want to be not controlled by the man. We want to have our own thing. But we suck at this.
Well, you probably should have phrased it as, for an upcoming show, please answer the following question.
Yeah, he could have, I'm sure. Could he have, right. Could they, because it wasn't even him, could they have done that? Yes.
Right.
But really, you know, guys?
If it didn't help things that his Foursquare said that he just checked into a Hooters.
You are now the mayor of Hooters. All I know is if I've said something on Twitter, like if I just even, like I've had it happen before where autocorrect put a word in there that was clearly not what I meant.
Right.
And yes. People are like, what's that supposed to mean? How can be? And nobody can ever just think, oh, maybe it's a mistake.
Right.
Like it always has to be this jump. Get him.
Ah! Yes. Exactly.
All right. James Franco.
Yeah.
He had his arm stuck in the rock there for a while. Yeah. Harry Osborn.
Until the next until the next movie comes out, he's Harry Osborn.
Yeah, he's still for a very short amount of time. Still, he is Harry Osborn.
Right.
He gets a TV show starring James Franco called James Franco Presents about James Franco's life.
Oh, good. Okay.
He's found another medium to which to express his artistic self. Ovation just as announced. 35-year-old multi-talented star. Oops. We'll be getting his very own, wait for it, TV show. Franco's television series titled James Franco Presents is set to premiere in November this year and will be document his provocative explorations in the world of art. What's Ovation? What the hell is that? Sounds like a web thing.
It does.
It says TV.
It's one of those cable channels that is only available to Comcast subscribers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Got it. One of those deals.
Kalamazoo, Michigan.
I think he's an interesting guy. Like, I think he's smeared himself all over different interesting projects.
Yeah.
Completely kind of royally blew the Oscars, but somehow I didn't hate him after it. Like, I don't know. There's something about James Franco that I like.
I still love the photos that, you know, you say James Franco and immediately my mind goes back to the photos of him in college, you know, like taking college courses while he's a big-time movie
Hollywood
star,
yeah.
Sleeping in the...
class.
In class, yeah.
That was pretty awesome. And it's still, Freaks and Geeks, still one of the best shows ever made. Do yourselves a favor. Yeah. Whole thing's on Netflix. Go watch the whole thing. It's one season.
Short. Binge watch, 12 episodes, boom.
Yep. How good is Mike in that? Mike Starr.
He's great.
Plays Bill. He's so good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Bill, the character, is the greatest thing ever. Like, when the fat little Jewish kid comes in and goes, you guys, you'll never guess what I found at the end of my bed this morning. and Bill goes, a turd. And I can't do it justice. And it sounds really sophomoric, but you need to watch it to get.
And he continued to be great on Party Down.
Yep. Yeah, he's great. Yes, Bill, a turd, the Jewish kid says. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we got Wendy here. We're talking about reinventing yourself. And I think it'll be a really interesting little bit of a subject there. Before we do that, though, let's do a request. What do you got for me?
This one is going out to Daniel. Says, hello, sexy and beast. On the 24th of August, my girlfriend Tina, not Brian's Tina, he says, will be celebrating her 24th birthday. I would like to make a request to play a cover of one of her favorite songs, Thousand Ships by Rachel Platten. She likes pretty much any type of music, so I leave the genre up to you. If you can find a cover of that song, which I couldn't, I leave the choice up to you. Tina is amazing, and she brings nothing but joy to my life. P.S. I know the 24th is on a Saturday, so any day during that week would be fine. Despite my roommate's insistence on me wearing clothes while listening to your podcast, love the show, though. Daniel. I could not find a cover of Rachel Platten's Thousand Ships. I listened to the song, though, and did a little searching around at what other artists, you know, you do these almost like a Pandora-type search where you say, okay, if you like Rachel Platten, what other groups do you like?
Right.
And one of the ones that came up is Ingrid Michaelson. And I do have some good covers by Ingrid Michaelson, so we're going to do that as a substitute for Daniel and Tina. This is a cover of Cheryl Cole's Parachute, and a really, really cool song and a great sentiment that hopefully you guys enjoy. This comes from a single that she released in 2010, a cover, or the single was just the song Parachute. Here is Ingrid Michaelson and her cover of Cheryl Cole's Parachute.
Here it is. It's Parachute, and we'll play it now when we come back. Wendy, stay tuned.
Planned. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They wanna push me down, they wanna see you fall down. Won't tell anybody that you turn the world around. I won't tell anyone that your voice is my favorite sound. I won't tell anybody, won't tell anybody. They wanna see us fall, they wanna see us fall down. I don't need a parachute, baby.
Tuesday's hash with Wednesday's gravy.
One Rancho, Nick.
You're working nights, huh?
Yeah. How's the wife?
Yeah.
When you can't be choosy about what you're having for dinner, make sure you have Pepto-Bismol for dessert. Pepto-Bismol's coating action will help protect and soothe your poor, abused stomach lining. Pepto-Bismol, when your stomach has its work cut out for it.
Honey, you didn't.
The Morning Stream. It's got chutzpah.
All right, we're back. Ugh, Pepto-Bismol for dessert.
Ugh.
I don't like that idea at all.
No, not after yesterday's hash with Thursday's gravy. Yeah.
That was such a 70s era, like totally dirty was. Spoon restaurant thing, New York kind of deal. I don't know, there's something about that time that just inspires grimy, gross stuff.
Totally, yes.
Okay, time to call Wendy. Get this ball on the road here. Show ball on the road.
Get this ball on the road.
Show on the what's the phrase? Show on the road.
Let's get this show on the road. Yeah.
Where did I get the ball part? I don't know where I got that. Hello, Wendy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
You sound chipper compared to last week. How are you feeling?
I'm just as tired, but I'm trying to act not tired.
Oh, whoops. I'm blowing the mystery here. Hey, everybody, check it out. It's Wendy Dunford. She is a therapist and my sister, and she comes on the show on Thursdays and does Therapy Thursday, which is our way of helping you deal with the problems of today. It's good to have you back. So,
you know, I tried when I was doing the drive back and forth to Vegas. We stopped at a convenience store in St. George to get gas, and I ran in to grab a snack. And no Dunford Donuts in there. I was really hoping.
Yes.
St. George. Do they extend that far down?
I think so.
They should. It's probably just because of the grocery or whatever store you went to.
Yeah.
They're always in 7-Elevens.
Really? Okay.
I don't know if that's just, you know, probably Intermountain West.
So 7-Elevens, Chevron stations around here have them. And our local one here, like just up the street, has them. And I'm trying to think if there's another chain. But they're amazing. They're special, those donuts.
They are. Even if you don't dunk them in Clamato, they're really, really good.
Yeah. They're really gross.
All right. Well, it's windy. We're going to do this. You ready for this? It's a good question this week, I think. And I don't know. I feel like we'll have a lot to say about it. So here it is. Wendy and gang. I'll start from the beginning for context. I am a white male in his mid-20s. As a child, I grew up with a close relative. By the way, I got somebody who emailed us all enraged that we talked so down to what he believes talking down to white people last week.
And
saying that white people are privileged.
Hold on, Pete has to see something. Pete's the whitest person you've ever met.
He is pretty white. He's so cute now.
That's all he's got.
He's the cutest kid.
Okay, wait. So he was
mad because we were like, we talked a little bit about the idea of white privilege or what that actually means or whatever, and you had made some comment about how you there's advantages for certain classes of people or whatever, and there's other people are put in disadvantaged by it, and he took real issue with that. I'm tired of being told I'm the white man with the blah, blah, blah. So he was having some white rage.
Yeah. We call it.
And I'm not calling him a racist or anything because I wouldn't, but I'm just saying he seemed to really take like what was a tiny, tiny, tiny part of what we discussed last week.
I know,
to him that was the entire topic. So
wow.
Well, I just get a little what it is that and I hear ya, who wants to be told all the time that you're a jerk, right?
Right, right.
Like, and that's not really the point. The point is really, like, everyone's so stuck in their own head that they're just convinced that, you know, they're the victim of something. And not to say that, you know, we aren't all a little bit, but I'll tell you, when you're white and male, I don't know if I'm gonna...
Yeah.
Feel too bad for you.
Exactly. So take that for what it's worth, but it's funny that people will just kind of pick out what they want to hear, and that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I picked out that the Power Rangers were racist and nobody else was thinking about it. So that's
why didn't they call?
Well, I mean, Black Ranger was black. Yellow Ranger was Asian. Girl Ranger was pink.
I thought of that.
Yeah. See what I'm saying? See?
So yeah, the Redmond's kind of dark, Native American looking.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh, that's totally racist.
It is.
And the pink one is
a girl, right?
Is, well, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little sexist, right? So because girls wear pink, so she has to be in the pink one.
Yeah.
If there was a gay ranger, would he have been
purple?
The gay ranger is my favorite. Lone Ranger fan fiction. It's really good. It's really, really good. All right.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Back to this
letter. Get to the letter quick.
Back to this letter. Sorry. As a child, I grew up with a close relative who taught me that love and affection of given based on what I would do for them. Or is based on what I would do for them. The more I would do and provide for them, the more I would be loved. The result for me was to develop an amorphous personality built to satisfy the various people in my circles. I was more than a people pleaser. Everything about me was based on sacrificing myself to the needs of everyone else because it is how I learned to be loved. Despite being a person, I never felt I was myself. I discovered this attribute a few years ago and have since put in efforts to evolve myself. My girlfriend of nearly 3 years has supported me and loved me for being me. I discovered how comfortable I can be in my own shoes, and books such as The War of Art inspire control and possibility. Interactions with other individuals invoke meaningful and non-robotic replies, but it's a mindset I can't maintain. So he's saying he's had these experiences, he's feeling some independence and not codependency, and his in this mindset is just, but he still gets stuck in that mindset. Despite improvements, my relationship and personal life is strained. I'm high strung despite an easygoing nature, and I can't find value in time unless it is moving toward a goal or motive. I can't play video games unless there is a higher motive involved. I can't just sit and play them for fun, nor can I simply sit and be with myself for more than 5 minutes without feeling like I have to go. I can't just be. I feel it's due to my discomfort of being myself. Unless there is a motive, a focus, a direction, a role I can perhaps play, then it's not something I can be comfortable in. I'm not comfortable being me. But when I am myself, I'm the happiest and most comfortable person in the world. How do you manage who you are? Can you bring out who you truly are, or do you try to create the person you want to be? Thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. Identity crisis is who wrote this in. So, common thing, right? A lot of people probably feel this way.
Yeah. Notice his age. What did he say it was?
Mid-20s, he said.
Yeah,
all right. Are you being an ageist? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. He's a white male, and he's mid-20s. No.
There's always going to be an ist every episode.
Great.
No, but that is not an uncommon – so he's done obviously some pretty good self-reflection and has figured out, okay, this is the dynamic I grew up in. That awareness – I mean, he's eons past many people in their mid-20s who are – still getting drunk every weekend and thinking they can just get to class on time, or what are they going to do with their lives kind of thing, right? Like right. They're not thinking, wow, my mother, I'm assuming it's a mother or father, were really domineering and my value was placed on my service, you know, whatever. So clearly there's been some self-reflection and some insight that's good.
Right.
But then the normal, quote unquote normal part of mid-20s, you know, late adolescence, early 20s, I mean, these days it goes into the 30s, of, you know, who am I? How do I fit in my skin? Some of that is just very normal. So, you know, I think he's probably figured out some things and wants to, I assume this is a guy, by the way.
Yeah. We assume so. Said he has a girlfriend.
Well, he says he's a white male.
Oh, he did say white male. So yeah.
That part makes me assume he's a guy.
I thought you guys were joking about that.
No, he really put that in the email. That's funny.
Oh, that's so funny. Just in case I wanted to.
Yeah, we want to go off on white male privilege again. Jeez, like you do all the time. Man. Right. Anyway.
Well, here's the problem. He's too privileged. And if he would just. No, I'm just kidding. I think that there is that normal time of figuring out where you fit, you know, what it's like. He obviously has, there's a deep level of discontent with just being. Mm. But I would dare find him, I would dare him to find somebody his age and his circumstance who can sit for more than 10 minutes without pulling out a phone and be comfortable. Right. I mean, I really think there is a, I think that the silence and the time where you sort of sit and meditate, and you guys are old enough that you didn't, you had actual space before you could, you know, carry around your computer with you,
right?
Where you had to sit alone and think, and maybe it wasn't comfortable. I don't know, but that was by the nature of life. That was kind of a normal part of everyday living. Whereas now, a normal part of everyday living is the possibility of never sitting still and being alone,
or ever disconnecting completely, or whatever. So when I was younger, and so the people don't, you know. Here's the thing. When I was younger and we didn't all have, you know, computers in our pocket that were more powerful than the space shuttle like we do now, I had the same tendency, though. Like, I had the same, like, drive to not be sitting there and doing nothing. I felt like I had to constantly be doing something or be attached to something. And so that, for me, would translate into lots of drawing or lots of, you know, finding an old book on dad's bookshelf, like Moby Dick, and then making an animated movie in the margins, like a flip animation book.
Have you ever read Moby Dick?
I have, yeah, since. Oh, yeah, well, just since. Checking. Yeah, no, it's really good. but I still have that book somewhere where you can see the entirety of my, I think it was I animated a basketball game where a dragon attacked everybody. Anyway, that's what I used to do. I used to love like little margin comic things. And I would draw constantly, or I'd get out the video camera and I would make stupid stop motion things or weird videos, or call in, you know, tell mom I was sick for school, but really I just wanted to make movies all day or whatever. So I think there's still, don't you think there's still a tendency in most people to want to just fill everything and fill up the time and not just sit there. You're not even arguing for people to be, you know, sit on their butts and do nothing. That's not the point.
No. And he isn't even saying that's his issue. He's saying when he sits to do nothing, or, you know, when he tries to do that, he has this weird urgency to be productive for a sense of value. Right. So I must do something for someone. There is some drive to be valuable or enough or of service to somebody in order to get the, because he was trained, I would assume that the accolades only came if he was, did exactly what they wanted him to do. And, you know, the praise that came from that. So to sit and do nothing means you're lazy. You're nothing. You know, it's probably the opposite message that they were, I mean, the actual message they were getting, which is you're not enough on your own, just who you are with all your quirks and real self. We don't like that. We like the one who does the dishes and doesn't complain or whatever.
But isn't most parent child feedback that? Isn't it mostly like, nah, you didn't do the dishes like I said, go do them this way? I mean,
that's why everyone needs therapy.
Okay, well, that's a fair point. So what you're saying is maybe what's missing in his life were those moments of like, hey, come here for a second and just sit on my lap and hug you and talk to you.
Yeah. Okay. And what matters to you? And I mean, not that I'm going to project what that person's diagnosis was, but if you are the child of a narcissist, which there are some really great books out there for people in this situation, they don't know they're the children of narcissists till later in life. Mm. And, you know, in essence, what that means is the world revolved around your parents and their ego. And so your everything had to do with them. It's much more fragile than like the soccer mom who like, you got to win this game or you're grounded. You know,
that's
like a light version of this. This would be pretty intense where they were controlled a lot and their behavior was, you know, you're only okay if you act the way I need you to do or do the things I need you to do.
Right.
And so that will, you know, when people start to see some of that and realize, wait, they tend to have identity crises because it's like, well, who am I? You didn't spend the energy developing your personality. I mean, think about what you were doing in your free time. Mm-hmm. The not sitting around time was, you know, going deeper into your creative psychosis.
No, it was all good for me. It was all good for me. Like that stuff. I mean, really, I'd look back at that and go, man, I'm glad I drew a ton. I'm glad I worked on these things, you know, because they're all directly benefiting me now. I got more out of those things than anything they taught me in high school.
Right.
Or even in college, for that matter.
And here's what the cracker was not. I'm just kidding.
The cracker, dude. Look at Wendy stirring the pot. I mean,
no, I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm tired from being rude.
Trolling the show today. It's fantastic. Yeah.
But what I don't talk about normally, I mean, but what I always do talk about, which he thinks I'm talking about this all the time. No, this is what I do always talk about. Is how bad I hate Facebook and crap like that.
Yeah.
But part of it is if you think about what you were actually doing during your free time, even if it was just imagining or walking or whatever, you know, drawing or making your videos or whatever, there were cognitive reactions to those that benefited you in the long term that actually helped you develop an identity and a sense of accomplishment and value. And the problem with social media in general is it is time consuming and it takes that attention. There's dopamine hits. There's all sorts of brain stuff that's going on. But in the end, there is nothing, nothing's maybe strong, but not a lot of productivity and self-worth that comes out of those experiences. In fact, most people feel worse about themselves after their engagement with certain type of social media because there's that comparison thing that's very normal. We do it all the time, but a constant stream of it we are not evolved to handle. You know, we can be jealous of the Joneses when they leave on a vacation, but that's every once in a while. But this is 24 hours a day of someone else is having more fun than me. Someone's life looks better. Someone's picture in sepia tones makes me feel like I'm a loser.
Is this my, hey, if I was a hot 22-year-old chick, I'd have way more Twitter followers problem. Is that what this is?
Yes, exactly. But you are 40-something, and so you have a base that you can then say, wow, I got to detach from that. But when you've never experienced anything else, it's a little concerning because what I see the resulting factors being is depression and anxiety. Because right. true value, you know, and I rant about this too. Wow, you're getting all my rants
That's
out.
That's all right.
Today.
Rant them, rant away.
Is the self-esteem movement of the 90s and whenever that started, where, you know, you just tell your kids they're great and that's going to make them like themselves.
Right.
And it is the opposite. So your mom says you look great. You think, I got to go change my clothes. You know, it doesn't work. And how it backfires is that where real self-worth and self-esteem and self-love and knowledge comes from is taking risks and trying something and succeeding and failing and getting up and doing it again. So, you know, all these things that are required. But unfortunately, I think the social media environment is a little bit of create your online persona, put your energy into creating what you are or who you are for everyone else to see. But if you're quiet in a room for half hour by yourself, you can't stand yourself.
Yeah.
Is a real telling paradox that I think is problematic. So I would say to this guy, he's saying, how do you manage who you are? And I think one of the things, and I know everyone loves to hear this, is to manage your social media use. You know, your, and I've talked about this before too, where when I have people go off of it for 30 days, it's like this brain reset that they have. They can see things more clearly. And people just don't, they're not fully aware of how it's impacting them until they stop. You know, if I drink nothing but diet, not, I'm thinking some kind of nasty soda. Well, every day.
Hold on, Tab.
Tab.
Yeah.
If I drink nothing but Tab for 30 days, you know, I'd be dead. But I wouldn't maybe recognize, because it's just such a part of my life, I don't recognize that it really is empty and, you know, what it's doing for me. But people who can go 30 days without Facebook or whatever their Vine or whatever their choice of media is, they have this, they go back to it. It's not that they, you know, have to be socially retarded the rest of their lives. They can go back to it, but they find that it's, you know, they just needed a break. So I think it's a really valuable part of managing who you are, is to not just be a brand manager. Like, okay, and then this is my picture and this is what I'm doing. You know, you are managing a brand rather than developing yourself. And so if you could just take a break from that a little bit, I think that can go a long way.
It's easy to listen to. So this is a phenomenon I think we've heard about a couple of times, where people listen to the Thursday show and just assume Wendy is anti-tech, anti-video games, anti-social media, anti any of these progressive technologies in her mind are all going to kill us, right? And I think it's interesting to point this out, because you and I have had disagreements about, you know, video games and kids and stuff like that before. Yeah. And it's, I think it's the perspective you have that many of us don't, because there are plenty of people. It's like somebody who counsels people with alcoholism.
Yeah.
And then trying to have a conversation about the severity of that end of it with people who are just moderate drinkers, or people that literally get a drink when they go to Vegas or when they go to a party and they're not addicted. They're not, you know, they don't have a problem. They drink socially, whatever that term is. I think it's important to note, when you deal with the people you actually deal with, people with dire circumstances, marriages are about to explode, relationships about to be ruined, you know, all of these very, very dire last minute, let's get into therapy kind of things. You're finding a lot of the common string between a lot of this are some of these things, right? Like these are absolutely affecting these people in negative ways. So I just want to make sure people understand that while you think that you may not have a quote unquote social media problem, where it's just kind of a little throwaway thing that occasionally you post something on Twitter and then walk away, Wendy is seeing people from a very different perspective on another end of that, where I don't know if you'd call it addiction to those things or whatever you'd call it, but you're seeing a very, very different face of it.
Right.
And well, that's valid, I think. It's an important side to see. I mean, because we don't see it.
I appreciate you defending your little sister.
Well, no, you know. I mean, it's a valid thing, because it's just like anything else. If somebody says, oh, man, I sure love the way American toilets flush, and then Canadians get all worked up because they have these awesome toilets that like flush everything forever and they never plug. And it's a terrible analogy, but you know what I'm saying? Like you're going to get defensive about a thing you know more about, or you think you know more about, but you're there in the trenches talking to these people about, you know, some guy's horrific addiction to pornography online, let's say.
Right.
That's about to destroy, literally destroy his life, lose his job, his wife, his kids, his everything, because he cannot stop looking at porn constantly.
Right.
And he's looking for harder and worse and more terrible stuff every time he goes. Well, that's going to sound hardcore, or that's going to sound, it's not the word, that's going to sound extreme to somebody who's like, yeah, I like an occasional pair of boobies, you know. I don't mind
that. How they say it.
Right. You know what I mean, though? Like, there are people being, they're probably people being very moderate about their nudity intake. But they don't see this side of it. So I don't know. I think it's important.
Well, and I really appreciate that. But I would also argue this point, which is we all have the same basic brain structure. And some are more disposed for certain things than others. I mean, I've read a statistic recently about 15% of people who would try, you know, drugs could get addicted. Because we're not necessarily hardwired for certain chemical things like we are for food and sex.
Yeah.
Food and sex, we are all hardwired to spread our seed and to get as much food as possible because we might not have a meal
right
later because we're hunter and gatherers. I mean, we should barely be alive, right? Well, we're hardwired to that. But guess what? The internet and constant access to food is, it's like there's no bell that says, okay, stop, because we're hardwired to not have a bell.
Right.
So there are those that, you know, and not to say that everyone should be terrified. What if I'm one of those? But the reality is there's many people who will be and are, but everyone has the same basic neurotransmitter system happening, which is the dopamine hit, the withdrawal if I don't know who's following me or the numbers or my popularity status. Or I mean, the other day, Abe says to a friend in the back of the car who goes to another school, he goes, so are you famous at your school?
Famous.
And he's like, wow. I don't think so. Of course, because Abe cannot learn the word popular. It's only famous in his mind.
Right.
And the kid's like, no, are you famous? And Abe's like, I'm the fifth most famous.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's quantified.
It's yeah. Starting no. Already. Woo.
He can only name the number one most famous. He doesn't know who the other three are, but he's pretty sure he's fifth.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is, at a very young age, this social comparison, I mean, there's a reason Facebook was created, and there's a reason social media has the draw that it does, is it, you know, it's chicken and egg. It's all combined in kind of our neuroscience. However, a little bit of a break, I mean, it's like if you work 100 billion hours a week, you're going to eventually collapse and die. If you're on vacation every minute of your life, you're never going to really appreciate it. It's kind of, there needs to be some balance. And I would say for the person who's the moderate user, it's just to play around with it a little bit. Like, for example, if you're feeling really bummed out one day, just turn off your Twitter feed for a minute.
Yeah.
And just see it. See if it makes a difference. Maybe for you, it doesn't. But the young group, my concern with them is, you know, and maybe they'll surprise me and I'll be a crotchety dumb old lady, but I think it's pretty hard to develop a sense of self with the normal interaction with others. That's how we know who we are. We look at our social mirror and we say, oh, I'm a good person. Or I am loathed and stupid because my mother's screaming at me all the time. You know, you sort of pick up from the social mirror your value. And then in your 20s, you got to figure out who the hell you are despite the social mirror. But if you can't ever put the social mirror down, then it's really tricky to give the energy to it that you need. Yeah. And you guys could speak to this too, but I mean, if you say, how did you feel about your standing or your self-worth or your sense of self in your 20s versus your 30s and now your 40s? I mean, hasn't it changed every decade?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And even multiple times within those decades, but.
Right.
But yeah, for sure. And it's.
I would go back to my 20s. I'm just saying.
Oh, I love my 20s. Freaking 20s were great. The 90s were great. Let's put it that way. I enjoyed the 90s.
I just love the 90s.
Hair bands went away, dude. It was awesome. but no, it's just easy for it is easy. I fall victim to this, and there are days where I have to go, dude, just quit worrying about, like, if I'm going to let's say I make a piece of content that I was proud of but nervous that other people are going to like it or not, whether it's art or something on a show or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll put it out there, and I know the minute I put it out there on Twitter, Facebook, and wherever else I post it, that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are going to see it. There's a click in me that says, you need to hang around and see what they say. Mm-hmm. You need to see what the reaction is, because that's clearly going to determine whether this was good or not. It can't be just good on its own thing. I hear my own head doing this sometimes. Mm-hmm. And there are days where I'm like, I just need to put this out there and not freaking worry about it. And here's the best part about those times. Those times tend to be the times where the most positive feedback, the most positive reaction, the most prints are sold, or whatever the reaction is, are the ones where I am not as worried about that stuff. And it's hard to convince your brain sometimes that it's okay to just put it out there, good or bad, whether they hate it or not. So what? Like, is that really going to determine anything? It's kind of like getting, 300 positive emails and then one angry one. And somehow that one angry one is so much more important than all the positive ones. And our brains cannot deal with that. It's like, how is it possible I get 500 positive comments on this YouTube video, but one of them hates my guts? Why am I letting him be the dominant thing here and not all of those other really positive things? Like, that's a weird psychology, at least for me it is.
Well, you're hardwired for that as well, because first of all, you're hardwired. I mean, if 500 were negative and one was positive, guess which one you would focus on?
I would focus.
You'd be thinking, those 500 are smoking crack.
Yeah, that one guy knows. He knows me.
He knows. He's got
he sees.
What are these other people not? Yeah.
Right. I think more than anything, it's that he's just... your greatest fear talking.
Yeah.
Like, hello, give me a mic. Okay, you are lame. Yeah. And that's your greatest fear.
Yeah.
And that's why always determining your value on other random trolls' opinions is really, it's hard to avoid. Absolutely. And it's part of your business. I mean, you're in a vulnerable business in that regard.
Sure.
From an ego standpoint.
Sure.
And I think this guy, the emailer, I know he's like, when are you going to talk about me? he's in the developmental stage right now where he's aware that this thing is happening. Like, you're aware of that voice.
Yeah.
He is aware, like, when I'm really myself, I'm happy. He's got to figure out how to be more of himself more of the time and see it as practicing. So if he played a sport or, you did some type of something that required warming up and cooling down, you're not playing it all day long. You can just practice being yourself as much as possible till it becomes more natural. Because what happened was he was sort of geared in the direction of you please this person in his life,
right?
Forget your own thoughts. He learned how to do that. And so it's unlearning and relearning a different way to be and to be sort of gentle with yourself as you're doing this. Because again, the generational piece here is I want it now, like, how long does this take? And I'm going to tell you, when you're 42, you won't even be worried about this. But you think, 42? I'll never be 42.
Yeah.
But you will. And it takes time for stuff to be rerouted. And it takes time for you to, but you have to practice it. That's the unfortunate thing about what I would call an abusive situation. That is abusive, to make a child believe that they're only valuable if they make you happy. Right?
Right. Right.
And so, undoing that and redoing that and learning new skills. I mean, that's going to take some effort and work, and that sucks that he had to go through that.
Yeah.
But he is figuring it out and he can practice this every single day. He sounds like he has a girlfriend who is really supportive of this process, and that's a big thing. And friendships that you find, if they almost recreate that situation. I'm sure you guys have had that where you have kind of an issue in your life and then there tends to be people who pop up who just like play the role. So maybe there's, if it's his mom, there's women in his life.
Exacerbate?
Well, just whatever the role is, right? Like it's like in family reunions, we have this pop up. There's certain people who always play a certain role, whether they're the ones that organize everything or the ones that take the brunt of something or, whatever it is. You have that role. It sounds like his role has always been, get involved in whatever work needs to be done and then be a part of that. And that's
and make sure that person is happy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The person that may come along is, say it's a boss, and the boss is completely unaware that this dynamic exists, but the boss's personality is dominant and, seems to be demanding. And his role, he gets into that mindset of, I must please this person. And so I will do all these things. But to be aware of that, have a conversation with that boss. That boss is probably like, what?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm just wanting you to do good work. I don't care. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So have a conversation. If you're dating someone or your friendships are with people who just trigger all sorts of things, you know, you got to ask yourself, am I friends with you because this is comfortable? I found this a lot with couples. They will marry someone so similar to their parents if they were abusive or weird in some way because it feels comfortable. Yeah. It feels normal, even though it's abusive or terrible and they vowed they'd never do it. It just seems normal. And, you know, so part of really managing his identity and his self is it's all new. And to just be nice to yourself as you're doing this, because it's scary to say, okay, who am I really? What do I really like? What do I really think? Because all of us are impacted by each other. I mean, there's books that have really influenced people. Well, they've influenced a lot of people. You're not the only one on the planet
right, to
be impacted by this or that or the other. And the social mirror obviously has a huge impact that way too. But there's something that needs to be done that's very core to each person. And that is, if I was and I know I use this analogy a lot, but if I'm in a room alone, who is talking in my head? And do I like that person? Or is that really me? You know, and it's sort of a self-reflection and analysis and work that it's really easy to avoid doing because we can be entertained every minute of the day, right?
Right, right.
And so to stop and really do that is rare. And I think that's, you know, ultimately figuring out one of the steps to figure out who you are. But I think the other is maybe adjusting the social arena and making sure there's less toxic people in your life, and maybe just take a day off social media. Just try it. I would love
it's hard, but like
100 of you did that and just saw a difference and then said, Wendy, you're full of crap. It's great.
Well, we could do a little challenge here. People in the chat room, people listening at home, why don't some of you try it? Those of you who are willing to try to just sort of, if you feel like this is a thing, you know, maybe some of you aren't doing any of it, but if that's a thing where you're constantly following your online heroes or whatever it is you're doing all day on your phone, texting constantly, whatever that thing is, whatever your social media of choice is, try taking a complete just day off of that and then email us and tell us what that was like. I'd be very curious about that.
Yeah. And
we'll do it too. I'll do it too.
One of the things to note is, do you find yourself, you know, with the phantom phone ring or reaching the for your phone,
the buzz in your pocket.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's that.
I have it all the time.
I totally do.
Yep. I am.
How much your mind goes there.
Like, I'm part of the problem. Absolutely. I'm part of the problem. And I do it all the time. And I'll grab my pants. Like, why are you grabbing for your phone? What are you doing? You don't, nothing. Right. No one's calling you. You don't need to check anything. Everything's fine. Like, just pretend it's not there. Like, somebody once gave me some advice. Said, when you get up in the morning, very first thing you should do is grab your phone and check your email. You get it out while your brain's fresh. You finish, you throw away a bunch you don't need. You park some that you got to talk to later. You answer some quick ones. But you get that email out in front of you and you're done. And I thought, man, that sounds like a really efficient, cool idea. I'm going to try that. I hate that I got that habit, because now I have this natural inclination to grab my phone as soon as I get up. And it gives me stress. I feel this. And as soon as I wake up, do I need to start feeling stress already? Like, in the email? What do I have to deal with today?
Right. You didn't know any of that existed right 10 minutes before.
That's right. I quit doing it. It's still hard, though. It's still hard, but I quit doing it.
Well, don't you know people that don't respond very quickly to your calls or to your emails or whatever, and you're kind of irritated with them? Like,
yeah.
Why are you not just waiting around to answer my email?
Yeah, oh, yeah. That happens.
And yet, somehow, they seem calmer than the rest of us.
Yeah. No, there are people who I think I've in my head have created a whole scenario as to why they're not answering my emails right away.
Yeah.
And because you're left going, well, why wouldn't they answer it? Well, are they ignoring it? You just delete it? You throw it to spam? Bap, 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 bap. You've created this whole story.
Right.
And really all it was a guy doesn't check his email but once a day, and he's also on vacation today, so probably not going to check it until tomorrow. And it's nothing. It's no slight against me, but you still are just like, what the hell? So yeah, that stuff, it can be like, look, if we're all honest with each other, let's be honest. Wendy can take the hit of being, oh, she doesn't like technology. But there is truth in this. There is truth in it. And you can all admit it or not, but there is. And this is something I'm really working on. Like, it's an actual problem for me. So I have to work on it, you know?
So, well, and the truth in it is that we're all at varying degrees, but there is probably not a person who doesn't have a smartphone who wishes for maybe something else happening in their life. Yeah. It's maybe discontent in some arena. Yeah. And if you count the energy units used and time and effort to maintain what I'm good enough online or, you know, being responsive or whatever the drive might be for you, if you could collectively take some of that and put it towards the thing that really matters, that you're so frustrated about, that, you know, I'm this, I need to lose weight and I'm just going to check my phone. Yeah. You know, like the way we avoid is, this is just another way we avoid. I think these have always existed in human history. I just think we have one that is never existed before, that is a rabbit hole and can be for many people. And there are some people who just do fine. I have a friend without a cell phone.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
How do they do it?
How do they live?
I know. And I'll tell you what, I have to text her freaking husband to say, hey, we're going to play tennis. Would you let your wife know? And she's always like, sorry. And I'm like, I'm so jealous of you. At the same time, I'm bugged by you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, get with the program. But man, how nice that must be.
Yeah. How weird for you. And yet, I think you can create mini oases that just help you reset your brain.
Yeah.
So if you are on your phone all weekend long, guess what everyone knows? That I can contact that person anytime, any day.
Yeah.
And so I did this with clients for a while. I would just respond, scheduling all the time. It didn't matter when. It could be 11:30 at night. And well, guess what? They would start texting me whenever they wanted, or, you know, I taught them how to treat me electronically, right?
Yeah.
And so finally I just said, I'm not doing this. So I refused to respond to anyone over a weekend. And guess what? Everyone stopped.
Yeah.
Because they're just waiting for the cue, right?
Right, right.
And
this is okay,
and
so, now, so contact me, right?
Yeah, exactly. It is 3 a.m. as I'm texting you my next available appointment. You know, so they think you're a psycho. But here's the thing. Everyone has their own version of this. And maybe you can just step back a little and take a break. Because the point is not what the emailer was even emailing about. But I think it's a helpful thing for anybody and could be for him. Because what he's struggling with is the liking who he is, getting to who he is and staying there. Not liking his everyday interactions and personality because it's been trained from some other source.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, our dings and buzzes and all those different things have an impact on how we act. You know, you get to watch, I get to see lots of moms and I get to see their avoidance of spending time with their kids with their devices. And, you know, can you spend some time with me, mommy, as she has the phone in her hand? And, you know, we all struggle with this, but I don't think we see it as well as someone from the outside might see it. And so in his case, you know, he's starting to see stuff. He's starting to recognize different patterns, and he has got to just practice doing it the way he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And that's maybe the big point. If you don't like what's going on in your life, then shift some things around. Be a scientist. Just eliminate something, add something,
see if it changes.
It's like changing furniture around sometimes. Just
sometimes
that makes things better. It's a fresh look. They're like, wow, I can really work in this space again. It's just something as basic as that.
Yeah.
May change it for him. All right. It's
and
good.
And I know I tell everyone to go to therapy, but one way that therapy would help him is to have a person that he is genuinely himself with all the time.
Yeah.
Because there's no point to go to therapy if you're not being real, you know?
Right.
And so it's nice kind of way, like a little microcosm. You can practice there and say real stuff and risk and do all those things that, you know, develop that sort of character strength.
Yeah. That you can't do as well on a date or, you know, with your mom or whatever.
Right. Because it's probably his mom that did this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's always moms, right?
Blame the mother.
I'm serious. It is always moms.
It kind of is always moms. I'll bet most of your experience with therapy is the mom stuff comes up.
A lot of mom stuff. But I'll tell you what. No one can ruin a kid like a dad.
Oh, yeah. No, they'll devastate
you. We can do it quickly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, quick.
With mom, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly. Dads can devastate in like moments.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Mom chips away at you for 20 years.
Did I say nuclear or nuclear?
You said nuclear. Nuclear.
I did. Yeah, nuclear.
You said it right. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Anyway. Our dad said it the wrong way, so we were always fearing as children that we would grow up to say that
nuclear.
Wrong. Yeah, nuclear.
Nuclear's wrong.
Yeah, nuclear is what you want to say.
Nuclear, which sounds wrong because that's not what I grew up
saying. Because dad, I also said toilet, And he said,
that's a favorite.
Do it. What was that? I was always really like,
do it on a daily basis.
Yeah. He said, do it on a daily basis. And we need X number of dollars. My dad had all kinds of weird things. Good times.
Anyway.
Yes. So this is all good. This is good advice. I think Identity Crisis can glean a bunch out of this, but I think more on the whole, listeners who, you know, we do this for you too. Let's do this little challenge. I think it'd be fun. I have a really embarrassing story about social media that I will save for a different day, that I was not proud of. And it kind of changed the way I look at it. Maybe I'll share that next week, but, yeah, let's all do it. Turn it off for a day. Let's see how it goes.
If everyone could turn it off for a day, and let me just say this last thing. If you think, oh, well, there's not a day I can do that because I need a blah, 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 you have a problem.
Yeah, unless you are Twitter itself and have to run your business.
On Twitter.
But I'm waiting for that mass text. I don't want to miss
it. Unless you're a server yourself.
Right.
Yeah, no, you, if that, so then do it for a day. And then if people could just like, honestly, I'd love to know if they were like, it didn't make a difference. It's going to vary for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, you know what? I did this experiment with Taylor once. She was 16 or 17. And I took her phone and I hit it for a little while. I wanted to see what would happen.
This is some of that dad devastation.
Yeah, some dad devastation. So I took her phone. I hit it somewhere and then I watched. And I watched between, in about a half an hour period, I watched just normal, like, oh, where do I put my phone? Escalate within that half hour to I am gonna die if I don't find my phone, and she's panicking and she's freaking out and oh my gosh, and I went, oh my gosh, this is like watching a drug addict where I stole their pills. and at the end of it, I said here you go, and she yanked it out of my hand, like took it back and just immediately opened it to see what she had missed or what was going on, and I said, sweetheart, that's not good that you're that into the phone. And she goes, it's not a problem, Dad. It's no big deal, Dad. It was like a drug talk.
It's an after-school special.
Yeah, it's an after-school special I have with her. So these are the things you learn as a parent and as time goes on. And she is not, she's not nearly like that anymore. She was, high school was bad.
I'm not sure.
Still, I think she's still very attached to it, but high school was real, real heavy.
I know.
And it's funny though, because Carter could care less about her phone. Doesn't care. She's 16. Doesn't care. And she's unusual, I admit.
Yeah.
But
it's because she can draw.
Yeah. Well, she loses her phone. She's down here animating. She's making some big, long animation. She was down here yesterday for after school for about 4 hours straight, just focused on that animation. While Nick's like, I'm bored. I want a good baby. You know, like he has to be entertained. She finds entertainment. She's a lot like me when she was little, when I was little. But she doesn't care about that phone. Yeah. And Taylor is in dire straits. Like, she cracked and broke her phone once. Nothing else mattered but hurrying up and figuring out a way to get a new one to replace it. Nothing else mattered. So, you know, like you said, we're all wired for this. Some of us are definitely wired to be more susceptible to, you know, making it more important or less important or whatever.
Yeah. And you know the Art of War reference, if everyone's read it, which you all should have by now if you get your homework done, is that he uses the word resistance.
The war of art, or the art of war?
Oh, the war of art.
Yeah, war of art. You really are like dad today. He used to get things backwards too.
Woo! Yeah, no, but the, which by the way, one of my clients did get the war of art, or the art of war, and was started reading it and was like, I do not understand why my therapist is having embarrassing.
That is pretty
anyway,
funny.
No, but he talks about resistance, about the thing that sort of gets in the way of you doing the work you're supposed to be doing. And that for some people, this is, you know, social media is going to be it. And that's going to be one of the things that blocks them. And in Carter's case, not at all.
Yeah.
But in other people's, that really might be something that is impeding your progress.
Yeah. And Nick just loses his charger and doesn't know where he put it. And, you know, he's a bad phone user just because he sucks at, like, the maintenance part of it. So in a way, that's fine. You know, that works fine.
It works out.
But in Taylor's case, always close, always at hand, always charged, always in the pocket. She drops it 500 times, but then, you know, it's all like near miss, like almost a catastrophe. Oh, my gosh, we've made it one more day. I can text this guy one last time. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just her.
So everyone do your 24 hours, and then I'd love to hear your responses.
Yeah.
And send them all to Scott.
Yeah, send them to me. I'll parse them. Yeah. Speaking of email, I'd like to turn that off for a day. Well, there you go, everybody. It's Wendy. Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure. Anything sort of charitable nature that we should be referencing today?
School started yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes. Donate to your local PTAs. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Help parents out. Help teachers out. Yeah. Do good things in your communities.
School's the best invention ever.
It kind of is, especially for you. That's why you're all chilling out now. You got some kids in school.
I have a hangover, like a headache, like. I got to get up and get them out the door, but it is worth it.
Yeah, totally, dude. Totally. All right. Well, have a good one. We'll talk to you next week and fair weather or something.
Okay.
All right, bye. See ya. All right. Good stuff today.
Yes.
I love Thursdays.
Yeah, I do too.
They're great. We went a little long, but I don't care. Whatever.
That's right. We're going to go even longer with the with Cleo and with emails.
That's
and
right.
With the song.
That's true. That's okay.
Oh, well.
Tuck in, everybody. You know what? I'll save that story about Twitter for Monday because I think it is it's embarrassing, but I'm willing to tell it.
Okay.
Wow. It's real. I've never told you this story. It's embarrassing. But I'll tell it Monday. I'm going to let it all hang out like a wiener in the wind.
It'll be Confession Monday.
Yeah. Why the hell not? Okay. Let's do emails. All right. Emails brought to you by.
Enjoy playing Minecraft but tired of survival? Come play on Final Score MC. In Frog Park World, we have various minigames, obstacle courses, and PvP. PvP modes include FFA, CTF, Infection, and more. Information at finalscoremc.com.
It is a hoppin' joint of Minecraft. Fantastic, cool. Fantastic fun on there, yeah. I like it a lot.
Someday I'll play Minecraft.
Yeah, you should. I don't know. You at the very least, you'd see what the kids are all on about. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because it's a game changer for sure. Dear Scotch and Bourbon, just wanted to weigh in on your smoking conversation on Tuesday's episode. I'm all stuffy today. Why am I stuffy? I don't like being stuffy.
I'm a little clogged myself.
Oh, somebody emailed and said, by the way, my wife can't stand it. You have a nose whistle on the show.
I saw that. Yeah, I'm glad you CC'd me on the reply.
Yeah, so I wrote back and said, you'd much rather hear my nose whistle than my bum whistle. So take that. I am working on that. I'm trying not to...
Yeah. Well, just lower the microphone a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Step away to breathe. Turn away to breathe.
Step away to breathe.
I just wanted to weigh in on your smoking conversation on Tuesday's episode. In particular, why people begin to smoke knowing full well that it's bad for them. This prompted me to consider why I started smoking, and it was then that I realized you were likely referring only to habitual cigarette smokers. I smoke a tobacco pipe. That's what killed my grandpa, by the way.
No, really. I love the smell of a tobacco pipe.
I do too. I grew up with it, and it was just like every time I go to grandparents' house, like, oh, that smells so cool.
Yeah.
And then he died a horrifying cancerous death. Anyway, and it was all blamed on that. Anyway, once or twice a week after a good meal with a glass of bourbon or some strong coffee, I enjoy the tobacco like one would enjoy a fine wine. The feel of the briar. The ritual of lighting and relighting and the different tobaccos for different seasons bring me to a place of nostalgia and relaxation. It is a vice that I enter into gladly. Just like the one, I can't help but read it this way.
It's like you get to read it as Charles Emerson Winchester.
Yeah, totally. Just like the one who loves a great tasting, great tasting craft beer or aged scotch. There's something very old world about the experience and it humbles you. Anyway, I hope my addition was not too Haribo. Feel better, Brian, Zach. So there you go. You sound great today, by the way.
Yeah, I feel great. I feel
it's good.
98%. A little bit of congestion, and that's it, though.
All ahead of Dragon Con. Perfect timing.
Right, exactly. Hey, that means my white blood cells will be in full charge mode.
Oh, yeah. You'd be like HIV.
I could lick the floor in the convention hall and be fine. Be totally fine.
You could nuzzle the armpit of a cosplaying
Justin Robert Young.
Or that's fine. I was going to refer to Chewie, like Chewbacca, but I think Robert Young's armpit is about the same. Yeah. So that's fine.
Peter Mayhew stepped on me, or almost stepped on me, a couple of Dragon Cons ago.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
Walked it through. I was sitting on the floor.
Skittle game. Brian talked about this on Tuesday, or talked about this today. He was talking about the other day. There's a whole series of Skittle games from the 70s. Don Adams did the commercials for them. I had Skittle Pool. This comes to us from a listener whose name I didn't get, but I apologize. But he sent us a video, a commercial.
Oh, cool.
So let's take a look here.
Nice shot.
I've made better. Want to play?
I came to play Wisconsin Skinny.
That's me. What's your game?
Skittle Pool.
You a hustler?
Nope, salesman.
I miss Don Adams.
I do too. He's great.
Oh my god, this commercial's hilarious.
This person's taking forever. So wait, it's like a little pool table?
Well, this one is. Skittle pool is.
Okay, so that supports what you were saying and what he kind
of
just
said. This is a little bit different. So this one has, and there are a lot of the Skittle games that have this swinging pendulum deal where you, instead of having a cue stick, you have a cue ball on a string or a ball on a string that you whack the cue ball with. Very similar, but mine is a top. I do need to do that video and post it on. I'll put on the Tadpole.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
All right. Watch for that coming soon. All righty. That's it. We're done with emails. If you want to send us one, you can send it to themorningstream@gmail.com. Let's call Cleo.
Okay.
Oh.
Cleo.
Burping up water here. All right, here we go. Well, you know.
Better than kale.
Better than beets. Everything's better than beets. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Okay.
Whoa. Call now.
Oh, what'd that play? Hey, Cleo, what's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Fantastic. Hello. Eden doing well? Everything going well?
She's doing fantastic. Oh, thank great. You very much.
Right. Deal.
That makes us happy really, to hear really that. Well, Cleo comes on Thursdays and sums up the week for us, gives us some of the best moments from TMS during that week. And I can't wait to hear what today holds. Cleo, what do you got?
All right. I got 5 good moments and a big winner. Are you ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. From Monday, when Scott was struggling to open a package of Oreos, E. Carter Shinsky wants us to have just one show where we do nothing but watch Scott assemble stuff from IKEA.
Oh, that would be the most boring video, though.
That would be hilarious.
Because I'm so bad. Kim puts everything together. I'm terrible.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah. Also from Monday, when we were talking about all the selfies on the internet, Warcrusher said, when I was a kid, a selfie in the bathroom meant something entirely
still,
different.
Still does, man. Still
yeah.
does.
Yes.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, when we were in the middle of the Fitness Geek segment and we were talking about fast food,
yeah.
Freya Hart said that going to McDonald's for a salad is like going to a hooker for a hug.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty that's pretty strong comparison, actually. I think I'm going to use that. I hope I don't have to reference their name every time I say it.
All right. On Wednesday, during Tom's Tech Time, he was talking about people in Africa having problems with streaming data.
Yeah.
I said starving kids are pissed that they can't get faster load times, and B4 Tank Girl followed up saying food pics aren't loading fast enough on Instagram.
Very
nice,
good.
Nice.
And from today, because we have to have an obligatory one, we had B4 Tank Girl again saying, moderate with your beats is my Skrillex cover band.
Ah, different spelling, awesome. But that's pretty good.
Well, yes. Before Tank Girl.
And the big winner from this week is Mandalore, who is new to the chat room. When you were talking about the guy on Tuesday with the 132-pound junk, and we were talking about Brian, he said Las Vegas man's power is the power to put entire cities in his mouth.
Oh, man. Holy smokes. Way to go, new guy.
Awesome.
What was his name? Malinor? What?
Mandalore.
Mandalore. That's Mandalore. What does that sound familiar? Oh, Mandalorian.
That's the Boba Fett.
Yeah. So he's a Mandalorian. Got it. All right, cool. Well, Cleo, always a pleasure. Keep it up. I can't wait to do this next week. And our best to Eden and the rest of the family.
Thanks, guys.
As everyone gets better. Yeah, no problem. I'll talk to you later. Bye now. Okay.
So I'd have a couple, this just dawned on me when she was saying see you next week. Well, we should probably talk off air about this, but I think Monday and Thursday's show, I might, because of two different airport trips, I might have to cut out 15 minutes early. We'll figure it out.
Oh, okay. So this coming Thursday and then the following Monday, you're saying?
No, this coming Monday Thursday.
Where you have another trip? Where are you going?
I'm actually taking Tina to the airport on Monday. She's going to Seattle for a few days. And then Thursday, we basically trade off in the airport. We're going to miss each other by a couple hours, but I'm going to drive there, fly off to Atlanta, leave the car at the airport. She's going to arrive about 2 hours after I leave and coming home from Seattle and then drive home.
Passing in the night.
Yes, not even that. Not even connecting. Oh,
Seattle, driving home from Seattle. Oh, no, driving home from the airport. Got it.
Driving home from the airport, yeah.
All right, I was going to say, driving to Seattle sounds terrible.
Ooh, that would be terrible.
Yeah, it's only 10 hours for me, but
that's Tina's folks do that every year. They visit because it's her brother who lives out there.
Right.
And so they drive out there, but they stop in Pocatello or someplace in Idaho and spend the night there.
There are a few places in Idaho worthy of stopping, but not many.
Sure. Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right. Sweet. Well, that's great. Yes. Let's get out of here. I want to thank alphageekradio.com for our shoutcast stream, as always. Scott Fletcher for our voice work. You can visit us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS, facebook.com/themorningstream. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, follow us at Scott Johnson, Coverville, and Morning Stream. By the way, Coverville, it's a show. Yes. It's about Coverville.
There's a show.
What's happening?
Tori Amos turns 50 today. 50 years for Tori Amos. So wow. We're going to be listening to covers of things like Crucify and Cornflake Girl. And she's done a fair number of covers herself, actually done a ton of covers. So it's probably going to be a 50-50 covers of and covers by Tori Amos.
Nice. I'm a big Tori Amos fan.
Tori Amos. I think that's the... The Spanish pejorative of Toriar.
Yeah.
It's Toriamos.
That sounds about right. Have you seen her lately? She looks great.
Really?
For her age. Yeah. She looks really good. Looks, I mean, she doesn't look 20 anymore, but she looks, I like people who grow old gracefully. Don't have to go get a bunch of crap done.
She always had kind of like a pixie-ish face, you know, like a.
Yep. Like a little, what do you call that?
Nymph.
Nymph, like a little nymph, yeah.
A little nymph.
A little fairy.
Yes.
Fairy's kind of a pejorative now, isn't it?
You can't use that term anymore.
Thanks, world. Appreciate it. great. Well, that's all cool. So tune into that, coverville.com for more, and at Coverville on Twitter. You can follow all the happenings happening there. Speaking of music, let's play something nice to end the week.
Sounds good. This one goes out to Mitra. Long email. I'm going to get through it as quickly as possible because it's all good content. Dear right. Scooter and Butterball, well, it's finally that time after 4 years of unorthodox schooling, some high school, some homeschool, and a lot of community college, and a gap year taken to a full-time job. I'm finally leaving my hometown of Charlottesville, Virginia, to embark on the equally terrifying and exciting journey across the country to Chicago, where I'll be attending Columbia College for film and video production. At the age of 19, I'm ready and excited to embark on a new stage in my life and would love to get a helpful kick in the butt from my favorite internet radio show. To this end, I'm requesting any song that Brian feels would fit the feeling of leaving the nest. Blah, blah, blah. Covers of any song that fall into this vein of life change and leaving home would be great. I'll be leaving for Chicago. What are you doing with your
laser? Sorry, I've got a laser. I got the laser thing we bought to chase the cat.
Oh, we got you.
And I wondered what that looked like, and it looks really cool.
Does look really cool. Yeah. Thanks for all you've done to provide content that can teach, entertain, and inspire all at once. I'm truly grateful. And that's it. Oh, okay, because there actually the rest of the stuff says personal note, no need to read this on the show. Oh, great. Well, okay. That makes it a lot quicker and easier. So one of the songs that Mitra selected or suggested was Going to California by Led Zeppelin. And there are a lot of covers of that song that kind of fall into the same mandolin slow da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da that don't really add something new to the version. However, 1995's Encomium, a tribute to Led Zeppelin. Never the Bride included this version that has a nice piano alteration that I think actually really adds something to the song. Here's Never the Bride and their cover of Going to California from the 1995 tribute album Encomium.
Fantastic. We'll see you guys on Monday for a whole new week of shows. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And as always, thank you for your support. It means a lot to us. Let's all go to California.
Days with a lover unkind, smoke my stuff and drink all my wine. Made up my mind to make a new start, going to California with an aching in my heart. Someone told folks out there, love in their eyes, flowers in big jet plane, never let them tell you that they're wrong.
be a queen. I'll find a king to play guitars and cry and sing. Na 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 na. Ride a white mare in the footsteps of dawn, trying to find a lover who's never, never.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Tight when you bite.